Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Erevin, Daf Yud Tes, and we begin on the very top line of Yud Tes Omud Aleph. We mentioned yesterday a number of statements that were said over by the Amora, Rav Yirmiyah ben Elozer, and we continue making various statements in his name. So, very top line, Yud Tes Omud Aleph. The Amora of Yirmiyah ben Elozer, Rav Yirmiyah ben Elozer said, Bo re'eh, come and see. Shalom. Look the difference between an earthly person and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's huge differences, and we're supposed to try to emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we have the gold standard that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sets that we have to try to meet. So, midas bas v'adam, what does a normal human being do? If a person does something that's a capital crime against the government and the king wants to kill him, so what do they have to do for such a person when they're killing him? Chaka l'soch piv. They have to put some type of a piece of wood. Rashi says chaka is eitz sheposeach piv shlo yochel adaber. That to stuff his mouth and make sure that he doesn't curse the king out as they're about to kill him. They could bring him to justice. K'dei shlo yikalu l'samelet. This person will be screaming that the king's terrible, the king's this, the king's that, because he's killing him. So that's an earthly king has to stuff the mouth of the person that he's putting to death. However, look at HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Meet this HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes a person, the person realizes that he's being punished appropriately. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the ruler of the world. And he says, Tzidduk HaDin. We justify HaKadosh Baruch Hu's actions. Adam is chayev hariga l'makom. If a person is nebuchayev, a capital crime against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So when they bring him to death, shosek, that person is absolutely quiet. He says, Tzidduk HaDin. God is right. And we see this from the Pasuk in Tehillim, Shenema, Lecha Dumiyah Tehillah. So the Pasuk says, to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is Dumiyah. Dumiyah is silence. We have to be absolutely domain. We have to be quiet. Akol Shoskim Kenegdech, Rashi says. Everybody's quiet against you. Not only that, not only is Lecha Dumiyah, but nevertheless, we all say Sehillah. Lo'ot Elish Hamishabeach. We praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shenema, the Pasuk says, Lecha Dumiyah Tehillah. We praise you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even at this time. And furthermore, lo out, el shadomalo ki'ilu makriv karban. You read the end of the pasuk, it says, ulecha yishulam neder. So, lo out, el shadomalo ki'ilu makriv karban. The person is as if he's bringing a karban, he's completing his neder. Shenema, ulecha yishulam neder. So, we say tzedek hadin, that's the difference between a person dying because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu versus a person dying on the hands of Basav Adam. And this is an idea that was also said by Rav Shimon Levi. Hainu the Amr Rav Shimon Levi. Now Rav Shimon Levi said the following: the pasuk, this pasuk also from Tehillim. What does it mean? Ma'idasiv. The whole pasuk says, "Ovrei be'emek habacha." Those who pass through this valley called Bacha, Mayon Yishisuhu. So the water there, the wells, the springs of water there will give him to drink. Gam brachos yate more. So the rain comes as well, and it's all a bracha. Now, what exactly does it mean? So we dash in each of the words in this pasuk. Ovrei, when it says Ovrei be'emek habachos, the word Ovrei elu b'nei adam sha'ovrim al ritzono shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is from the word avayin, a person who sins. So those that sin, so they are going to be in this emek. What does this mean, this emek? Ovrei be'emek, shema'amikin lehem gehenim. So we deepen out, we dig out gehenim for such a person that Nebuch is an avayin. And then it says be'emek habacha. That refers to Abacha Shabochin or Ridim Dumos, and those people will be crying, they'll let down tears, Kimayan Shel Shisen, like the wells that are belit the Beis Hamikdash. There were passageways that they used to pour the libations, the wine libations, the water libations, holes in the Beis Hamikdash that went down these passageways below the Mizbeach. So there will be crying like there was water and wine that were being poured down the sheets in these passageways of the Beis HaMikdash, so too these people will be crying. And then the pasuk concludes, it says, Gam brachos yatem more. What does that mean? Gam brachos yatem more. So matzdikin alein esedin. This is the tzedek hadin that I mentioned previously, that these rishoyim are going to say as they're being brought to their justice, so they're going to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is righteous, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is right, and we are wrong. Furthermore, they say in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, Yofa Danta, you judged fairly. That's, again, Tzedek HaDin. Yofa Zakisa, you have said that those people that are innocent. Yofa Chiyata, you said those people that are, in fact, guilty are, in fact, guilty. So again, tzedek hadin. This is one of the most important principles that we have, in that a person who is guilty or judged, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu always judges fairly. And therefore, even the person who's being judged harshly will recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges fairly. And he'll say, V'yofe tikanta gehenim. You appropriately set up a place, a way station, gehenim, for people to be cleansed from their averus, the rishayim. And that's where the rishayim will go until they come out of gehenim. We have a Kabbalah that, with rare exceptions, that most people are only in gehenim for up to a year, an 11-month period of time. That's why we say kaddish for the 11 months, for even the biggest rishayim. Hopefully they come out of gehenim cleaned and for their olam haba after the 11 months in gehenim. So you set up this process of gehenim for the rishayim, and you set up gan eden latzadikah, and they're supposed to, those people that were righteous in this world, yofe zikisa, so those people go to gan eden. More questions this. Really, do the sinners, even the sinners, really always say tzedek hadin? Where says, Eini? Really? Rishayim always say tzedek hadin? Shimon Lakish, Darshan Tepasuk, it says, Rishayim, afilu apiskol shel gehenim. The Rishayim, even when they're on the entranceway into gehenim, they're still doing their evil. Einan chos mishuva, and they don't necessarily do tshuva. This is based upon a different pasuk. This pasuk tells us, this is from Yeshaya, Shenemar, V'yotsu, the people will go out, V'ro b'figre anoshim, and they'll see the dead bodies, ha'poshim bi, v'gomer, that are in the present tense, that are sinning against me. It doesn't say sh'poshu, that sinned in the past tense, lo nemar, that doesn't say, ela ha'poshim, present tense, which implies sh'poshim v'holchim li'olam, that they're still, even in their death, so to say, they're still doing the sins. In other words, they didn't say tzedek hadin. So Rish Lakish says, how can you tell me, both Rav Shimon Levi and Rav Yirmiyah ben Elazar, that all the Rishayim, they acknowledge HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they say tzedek hadin. From this pasuk in Yishai, it says that they're still poshim, they're still currently sinning, even at their death. So Gemara says, nope, not a problem, lo kasha. Depends who you're talking about. Ha, b'poshe Yisroel, Rav Yirmiyah ben Elazar, and Rav Shimon ben Levi. So they're talking about Jewish sinners. So they recognize, it's the pintel yid, they always recognize eventually that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is right. As opposed to the statement from Yeshaya that Rish Lakish brought down, ha, b'poshe ovde kochavim. Those are people that are, people that are over the Vanazara. And they never recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore they're still referred to as being poshim even in their death. And this makes actually good sense, the Gemara says. Hochanami Mistabra. Because the Imkain, because if this explanation isn't correct, the difference between Poshi Yisrael and Poshi Yovi Kochavim, then there would be a steer in Reish Lakish himself. Here Reish Lakish says that they're continuing to be Poshim. But if you tell me that they don't have this reconciliation here, the Imkain, Kasha the Reish Lakish, Reish Lakish, then we'd have two contradictory statements from Reish Lakish. Because the Reish Lakish, Reish Lakish says elsewhere, Poshi Yisrael ein or gehenim shuletis bam. The Jewish sinners, they will not be able to be punished even by the fires of Gehenim. In other words, they're going to go out of Gehenim. They won't stay in Gehenim. Now, where do we see this from? This is Kal v'chomer mi-mizbeach hazov. This is a Kal v'chomer that we can learn out from the inner mizbeach. The outer mizbeach was known as the copper mizbeach, the mizbeach hanachoshes, or the mizbeach hadoma. That's the one in the courtyard where most of the sacrifices were brought. And then you have the inner mizbeach, which never had a sacrifice brought on it, but there was on Yom Kippur, and other times there was dam that was brought on it, and every day the incense was brought on it. Now, we have a famous Kal v'chomer from the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach, as we said, the inner Mizbeach was plated with gold. So, Ma Mizbeach Hazov, the inner Mizbeach had a layer of gold on it. Shein Lav Ela Ke'ovi Dinar Zov. It only had on it a thin layer of gold, a dinar's worth of gold. Nevertheless, Omat Kama Shonim below Sholta Bo Ur, the fires never destroyed it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it that even though there's fires on it every day with the incense, so those fires never got rid of the gold plating. It didn't burn through the gold plating. Now, that's the limited, small amount of gold that was able to protect the Mizbeach. So, Kal v'chomer, Poshi Yisrael, the sinners of Klai Yisrael, Shemilein Mitzvos Kirimon, even the biggest sinners will darshan out, are filled with mitzvos. The biggest sinners in Klai Yisrael still are filled with mitzvos. Where do we see this from? The pasuk says, from Shir HaShirim, Shenemar, Kefelach Harimon Rakosech, like the pomegranate. A pomegranate is known for having many, many seeds, right? There's a medrash that said it has 613 seeds. So the pomegranates have many, many seeds. Kapelach Harimon, like a piece of the pomegranate over here, Rakosech. Now, Rakosech literally means the sides of your head, your temples. Nevertheless, Rish Lakish darshes of Amr Shimon Lakish, Rish Lakish says, don't read the word rakosech, meaning your temples, ela reikosech, even the most rake amongst you, even the most devoid of mitzvos amongst you, afilu reikonim, even these people that are so empty, they're so devoid of mitzvos, shabach amongst you, melein mitzvos kirimon, they are still filled like the pomegranate seeds, they're so filling the inside of the pomegranate, even the worst amongst us are filled with seeds. So therefore, if the thin layer of gold on the mizbeach is able to protect from the fire, so certainly this filling up of mitzvos that even the worst amongst us have, Allah has kama v'kama, will be able to protect us from the fires of Gehenna. So therefore, this would be a stira to what he said before. Before he said that the sinners don't do tshuva, and even they're called poshim as they enter into Gehenna. And yet, at the same time, it says that these terrible people are filled with mitzvos. So this would be a stira in Reish Lakish. How come you're saying that they're still sinners and yet they're filled with mitzvos? So the answer would be, it depends whether they're poshi Yisrael or whether they're poshi umus olam. So the Gemara says, okay, Elohad d'chsev, it says, over the emek habacha. So how are you going to dash in that pasuk where it says that those, we dash in over those people that are avayanim, they go into the emek, they go into the gehenim, and they're crying. They're going into the emek, they're going into gehenim. How can you say that they're going to gehenim? So Gemara says, no, how would Mechayve, how Yishayit the Gehenim? No, there is a temporary time that unfortunately the sinners do have to go into Gehenim, as I pointed out before, that they go into Gehenim. However, but Avram Avinu doesn't let them stay there. He comes and brings them out of Gehenim. Again, not clear exactly when he does this. Does he not even let them go in? Or, like I said previously, we have the Kabbalah that they're in there for a certain period of time. But in any event, Avram Avinu is our great savior, our protector, and he goes and takes these Rishayim out of Gehenim because they have a bris milah. And anybody who has a bris milah, he takes out of Gehenim. And therefore, Bar Mi Yisrael, the only ones he can't take out of Gehenim are those people that their bris milah is not recognizable. In other words, Shebaal Abbas Ovid Kochovin, if they had relations with the Goita, so then they've basically Moshcha or Loso, they have essentially done the undoing of their bris milah, the lo Mevashkar Le, and Avram Avinu isn't able to recognize them. It says on the side, the lo nikar, this Mevashkar means lo nikar habris. Avram Avinu, so to say, doesn't see their bris milah. They've spoiled their bris milah because of their immoral actions. And therefore, the pasuk ulavakar beheicholo, so the targum for that is ulavashkar beheichole. So therefore, this word, the lo mevashkarle, means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is allowing them to stay in Gehenim. Avram Avinu can't take them out because they've ruined their get-out-of-jail card that Avram Avinu would normally do because of the bris milah. So they've spoiled that, and they've ruined their bris milah, and therefore Avram Avinu can't take them out, so to say Avram Avinu doesn't recognize them. Now, Reish Lakish had said, because it uses the term poshim in the present tense, that therefore they still are sinning. And we said that referred to the poshim was olam. More questions this, however. Maskel or Kahana, Rav Kahana doesn't like this drush of Reish Lakish. He says, if you're telling me that the word poshim means present tense, so then every other time it uses a similar present tense, does it mean that they're still doing it? I'll show you that that's not true. Hashi the Amos HaPoshim. Now that you're telling me the word poshim means the poshim, the ozli, that they're still sinning right now, and they're continuing to sin in the present tense, so then every other time it uses such a word, it means they're still doing it in the present tense. Ella, me'ata d'siv, when the pasuk tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it was the one Hamotzi, Eschem Eretz Mitzrayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took you out of Eretz Mitzrayim. V'amal Eschem Eretz Mitzrayim. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes us out of Eretz Mitzrayim. So we understood that simply, it means in the past tense. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim. When we went out to Mitzrayim, we were slaves in Mitzrayim, and then we had Yetzias Mitzrayim. But now that you're telling me that Poshim means currently doing so, so Demasik u Demafiku, are you telling me that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is today taking us out of Mitzrayim? He is bringing us out of Mitzrayim today, present tense? It doesn't make any sense. Elo da'asik v'yapik, it means he took us out. Even though it's used a lashon of present tense, it means past tense. Hamotzi was the one who took us out. It doesn't mean the one who is taking us out right now. Hamala is the one who lifted us up from Mitzrayim, not that he's lifting us up right now. So you see that this lashon of Hamotzi and Hamala is referring to the past. So too, Haposhim, Ella, means over here, Hochanami, the Poshihu, that they sinned in the past, but not that they're necessarily sinning right now. So Reish Lakish's drasha is wrong according to Rav Kahana, and the drashas that we had from Yerub ben Lazar and Rav Yeshua ben Levi are correct. Okay, now we go another statement from Yerubim and Elazar. Yerubim and Elazar, Amar Yerubim and Elazar. our Gisa in the Gemara is bar, but we've been using the terminology ben elozer the whole time, so the Mefarshim on the side say that it should be ben elozer here too as well. In any event, the Omer Rabbi Yirmiyah ben elozer, shlosha pesochim yesh legehenim. Another homiletic discussion. He says there are three openings to Gehenna in this world. Where are they? Echab Midbar. One is in the desert. We'll see a source for this in a moment. Echab Yam. One is in the Yam. We'll see a source for that as well. Echab Yushalayim. And the other opening is in Yushalayim. Where do we see sources for this? So in the desert, by Midbar, we have a pasuk to see it. This is by Parshas Korach, where Korach and Adosel were swallowed up. It says, Vayerdu Haim, V'chol Asher Lehem Chayim Sha'ola, that they were all swallowed up and they went down to Sha'ola. They went down to a word for Gehenna is the Sha'ola, to Sha'ol. Right? Whenever you have a hey at the end of the word, it means Sha'ol-la. So they're going to, it's like saying Lish-Sha'ol. The hey at the end is like a lamed at the beginning. In any event, so they went down to Chaim Sha'ola. So they obviously had an entranceway. There was a Pesach to Gehenna in the Midbar. Where do we find in the Yam? So by Yonah, when he was swallowed up by the dog, so he dived into HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it says, by Yam, Dersiv, it says by Yonah, Mi beten Sha'ol Shivati, from the belly of this Sha'ol, again, another word for Gehenna, I called out to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Shamata Koli, and you heard my voice, and you responded, and you saved me. So therefore, we see that Sha'ol is in the Yam as well. Beten Sha'ol, from the depth, he wasn't talking about just from the stomach of this dog, but from the depth of Gehenna. And then it says, Yushalayim, where do we find the source that there's a Pesach to Gehenna in Yushalayim? The pasuk says, No Mashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Asher Ur Lo B'Tzion, there is a Ur, a fire, in Tzion, the Tanur Lo B'Yushalayim, and there is a Tanur, an oven, in Yushalayim. And this Tanur is like the Pesach of the Ur that is in Tzion. The Tanur Yerushmo, the Lenin Besmed Yerushmo, Asher Ur Lo B'Tzion, that part of the pasuk means Zu Gehenna. That's a reference to Gehenna itself. That's the actual fires of Gehenna. The Tanur Lo B'Yushalayim, that part of the pasuk, that's a reference to Zu Pischo Shel Gehenna. That's the opening. The Tanur is the opening into the fire of Gehenna. So, according to Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Elazar, there's only three openings of Gehenna on this world. So more questions. Is for Suleka, isn't there another opening? V'Amar Rav Merion. Rav Merion said, in the name of Rabbi Yishuv Lady. Others say, V'Amri Lo, it was Tono. It was learned in a Braisa. Rabba Bar Merion, it was Rabba Bar Merion, not Rav Merion. It was Rabba, the son of Rav Merion, who learned it B'Dvei, Rabbi Yochim and Zakai, who learned it in the Smedish Rabbi Yochim and Zakai. In any event, whoever it was that said it, said the following. Shnei Tomoros, Yesh Begay, then he know. There are two palm trees, two date palms, that are in the valley of Ben Hinnom. Va'ola Asham Mibinem, and a fire goes out between them. Smoke rises in between them. Bezuhi Shoshaninu, and this is about this we learned in Sukkah as to where certain Aravos are growing that are good. It says, Tzine Har HaBarzel, these Aravos that are growing by this Har HaBarzel, or in fact, Sheros, they're good, they're kosher for using for the Arbaminim, for the Aravos of the Arbaminim. Fine. Vezui Pinsel Shogadim. And that, when that smoke comes up, the Gemara there pointed out, that's a Pesach of Gehenim. So here's a fourth Pesach of Gehenim. How can you tell me there's only in the desert, in the Yam, in Yushalayim? Here you have the Tzini HaRabarzel, there's a Pesach of Gehenim over there as well. Gemara says, who says that that's not Yushalayim? Dilmo Hainu the Yushalayim. That Pesach is the same Pesach that we had, that we said was by Yushalayim. And Tosus points out over here, Kiddur Sivak says, Pasuk Yoshua, Gei Ben Hinom, Yushalayim. That's a reference to the one in Yerushalayim. And Tosus says, V'lo garsim hainu de Midbar. And it doesn't mean that that's the one in the Midbar. No, that's the one in Yerushalayim. So there's only three, and there's no contradiction. Rashi points out that these brises that were learned in Rav Yochanan Mazakeh's base medrash, so he points out this is similar to the brises that we have, the Tosefas that we have that were from Rav Chiya and Rav Oshia, which are the most authentic brises. So he said they also had authentic brises in the base medrash of Rav Yochanan Mazakeh. So we had several names for Gehenim. So the Gemara says, now, Amar Shimon Levi, there are actually seven names. Zayin, Shemos, Yesh LeGehenim. There are seven names that Gehenim has. These are the seven names. It's interesting, I thought, that we also have the concept of seven heavens. There are seven layers or seven levels of Gehenim. And we seem to have over here seven layers or seven levels, seven different areas in Gehenim for different punishments for different people. Just like there's seven Rokias HaShemayim, so too, you have over here this concept of in the depths, you have corresponding to the seven of Shemayim, of heaven, you have seven depths. What are these? Elohim, what are the names of these names of Gehenim? So We'll explain them all in a moment, so we'll just read them now. Sha'ol, that was one of the name we just had, Vavadon, that normally means destruction or total destroying. So that's another name. Ube'er Shachas, a be'er that is a destroying be'er. Then you have Ubor Sha'on. Sha'on normally means something that's very tumultuous or something that's very noisy. So Ubor Sha'on means it's very, very noisy pit with water. And V'tit Hayavein, that's a muddy type of a tit, of a mud. It's a mavis, tzel mavis, the shadow of death, right? We walk through the valley of the shadow of death. The valley of the shadow of death is Gate Salmavis that we say Nebuch in the Patsuk and Tehillim that we frequently say at a Levaya. And finally, the Eretz HaTachtis, the down under, the bottom level of Gehenna, that's the Tachtis, all the way down. Now, we have Psukim to support each one of these. Where do we find that Gehenna is called Sha'ol? Sha'ol Duxiv, Mi Betin Sha'ol Shivati Shamata Koli, that we had from Yonah. We just had that Patsuk. Avadon, where we find that Gehenna is called this total destruction. Dechsev, hayisupar bakever chazdecha, can all of your chasodim HaKadosh Baruch Hu be set over in the grave? Emunoscha b'avadon, can your emuna be talked about in Avadon, in Gehenna, in this place where everything is destroyed? So that's the source for calling Gehenna Avadon. Then Be'er Shachas, where we find that the Gehenna is referred to as a well that destroys. Because the pasuk says, all these are from Tehillim. Kilo sa'azov nafshi lishol. I will not leave my nefesh to Sha'ol. And lo sitein chasidcha liros shachas. And I will not let my the people that are chasidim see shachas. This be'er shachas, this pit or well of destruction. So therefore, this is also a reference that be'er shachas. Shachas is a reference to Gehenna. Where do you find that the terminology of Bor Sha'on? We said this very tumultuous type of a pit, and Tit HaYovin, a certain type of a very muddy material. Where do we find that their references to Gehenna? Because the pasuk says, Dilsiv, also in Tehillim, Vayaleini, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took me out, Mi Bor Sha'on, Mi Tit HaYovin. He took me out from this depths, this Gehenna. Finally, the Tzal Mavis, where do we find that Gehenna is referred to as the shadow of death? Yoshvei Choshech, Bitzal Mavis, because the pasuk tells us those who live in darkness and live in this Tzal Mavis, in this shadow of death. And finally, the last one, Eretz HaTachtis, we don't have a pasuk for that. The Gemara tells us is Gemara. We have a tradition, we have a Mesorah, that this is a terminology for Gehenna, but we don't have a pasuk to support that. The Gemara says, just these seven, Vesuleka, there are no more. What about Gehenna? Vayikra Gehenna. That wasn't one of the seven names of Gehenna. So that's an eighth name. Gemara says, no, Gehenna is a descriptive term. Gehenna is not an actual name. It's a description of what Gehenna is. A valley. Sha'amuka. Now we have the Gersa Big Gehenna, but it should be Kid Gehenna, it says on the side. So this is a valley that is as deep, as bottomless as Gehenna. So, Shakol Yorid Lo Al Iske Hinam. And the play on the word Gehenna is Gay Hinam, Gay Shal Hinam, is a play on the word Hinam, can also mean somebody who is immoral. Rashi explains, Al Iske Hinam, Hinam means Arayos. And you see this in the Gilgan Ashas, and Rabbi Kiva Eger on the side tells us, Uchid Isa in the Gemara in Yuma, that it says, Nechol b'mitzrayim chinam. We ate the Mitzrayim chinam. So what does that mean? That's an allusion, the Maharsha says, to the Arayas, that people would have relations. One of the reasons that they cried at Har Sinai was, all of a sudden, all the marriages that were previously allowed between relatives, incestuous relationships, were no longer allowed. So they cried about this chinam, this hinam, the hay and the ches are interchangeable. So therefore, that is a reference to Gay Shel Hinam, this valley of immorality that you are sinking into. This is Gehenna, is a descriptive term of why you're in Gehenna, because of all the immorality. Another word for Gehenna, the word says, Vayikra Tofteh. Here's another name of Gehenna. Where do we see this? The pasuk tells us, also from Yeshaya, Ki Aruch Me Esmol Tofteh. So the pasuk says that this Tofteh, this Gehenna, was set up Me Esmol. It was one of the things that was set up before the world was created. So how can you tell me that there's only those seven names? There's also Tofteh. So it says again, Tofteh is more of a descriptive terminology. How Shekol HaMispateh BeYitzro Yipol Shom. Anybody who is going to have a pitoy, a seduction, from his Yetzirah. If Yetzirah seduces you, yeah, that's where you're going to be going, to Tofteh, the place where seduction is resulting. So because you were seduced, that's you go to the place for seducers. So that's a descriptive term for Gehenna, but not Lav Dafka, a name of a place. Now the Gemara says, in contrast to Gehenna, there's also Gan Eden. Gan Eden, Amar Reish Lakish, there's also going to be a Gan Eden. Where is that? So Reish Lakish says, in Eretz Yisrael, if the opening to Gan Eden is in Eretz Yisrael, then it must be Beis Shan Pisro. It must be that Beis Shan is the opening to Gan Eden in Eretz Yisrael. And in Ba'aravya, if you're telling me that the opening or the entranceway into Gan Eden is elsewhere, if it's in Aravia, in Arabia, so Beis Gorem Pisco, this place known as Beis Gorem, is the opening for it. And if you're going to tell me in Bein Hamna Arusu, if it's in between certain rivers, Tosu says these two rivers are in Bavel. First he brings down a pshat that they're not in Bavel, but then he says they are in Bavel. And he says it's the Pras and the Diglas. The Pras is the Euphrates and the Diglas is the Tigris. So that's where this opening to Gan Eden will be, in Bein Hamna Arusu, so Dumaskinin Pisco. It's a place called Dumaskinin, which is between these two rivers. That's where the Pesach to Gan Eden is. By the way, Abaye would say, B'Bavel, if you're saying in Bavel, where the great fruit are, because Gan Eden has great fruit, so the Pesach would probably have great fruit. So he says, Abaye mishtabach peperi de me'eri yamina. Abaye would say that this was on the right side, the right bank of the river Pras. And Rava, mishtabach peperi de Harpanya. Rava said, oh, the area of Harpanya, that has very, very great fruit. So that would be near the Pesach of Gan Eden. That concludes this Agadita type of a discussion, and now we requote the Mishnah, and we go back to our Pasi Biros, and it says, Ubeneim kimlo shtei v'chule. So we said that the opinion of Rav Meir was that you'd have two teams of oxen with three oxen in each team going through. That's how much you could have, which we said was 10 amos, and then we had the opinion of Rav Yehuda, who said it was two teams of four oxen each, and that was a 13 and a third amma. So now the Gemara is going to discuss this, and it tells us in the Mishnah also that they were Koshros velo mosoros. They were kishuros. They were tied together, the oxen, and not loose. So Gemara says, pshita. Given the tonale de kishuros habu, since you're telling me that they're tied together, so da anan yadina, the lo havi mosoros. So then I know that they're not untied. So why do you have to tell me that they're tied and not untied? So Gemara says, because I might have thought, mao de tema, if you just told me kishuros, I might have thought you didn't mean it literally. I might have thought you meant ke'ein kishuros, that it's like they were tied because they're near each other, but they're lot dafka tied together. Aba mamish lo. Therefore, it has to tell me, no, they want to make it a tight fit over here. So you tie the oxen together to get the 10 amma or the 13 and the third amma. So kamash one, that the chiddush is that they really are tied together and not that they're just near each other, below musaurus, and not that they're untied and just near each other. They're really tightly tied together. This way, it's a smaller space than if they were loosely walking next to each other. Then the Mishnah says, achas nichneses, achas yotzes, that you have the two teams of either three oxen or four oxen, Rav Meir, reviewed them respectively. And one is going in and one is going out. So again, it takes a little bit more space than if they're all going in the same orientation. Mara says, Tano, we learned in a braisa, Ravaka, this team of oxen, it's known as Ravaka. So Nichneses, one is going in, Uravaka, this team of oxen, is Yotzis, one is going out. So Rashi explains, Velo Pora Nichneses, Sopor Yotzis, it's not one going in, one going out, because in Rim Kane, Lohavulu Kshuras, then it wouldn't have had to tell us that they were tied together. So from the fact that it's telling us that they're tied together, it must mean that all the three, or all the four respectively, that are going in, that are tied together, are going in together, and the others are coming out, all tied together. So that's what we darshan over here, Echod Nichneses, the Echod Yotzis. Where it starts off and says, Tana Rabbanon, the Braisa tells us the following. Kama, Rosha, Veruba, Shalpara, how much, we said that the minimum size of the bear that you can make Pasi Beiros around it, the minimum size that you have to have in the space around the bear has to be enough for the head, Rosha, and Ruba, and most of the body of a par. In other words, along its length. And how much is that? Shtei Amos. You have to have at least a width around the bear for the Pasi Beiros of 2 amos. The Kama, Ovio, Shalpara, and how thick from the width of every cow, that we said that we got to the 10 amos with 6, and we got to 13 and the third amos with 8, so how much is their width? Kama avi shopara, so amma ushnei shlishi amma. We learned this the other day. I said this, I went through this Gemara then when we did the Mishnah, that it's 1 2/3 amma for each cow. So if you have 6, it's going to be 6 times 1 2/3, 6 times 1 is 6, and 6 times 2/3 is going to be 12/3, which is 4. So 4 plus 6 is 10. That's where Rav Meir got his sheet of 10. And if you have 8 for Rabbi Yehuda. So 8 times 1 and 2 thirds. 8 times 1 is 8. And 8 times 2 thirds is 16 thirds, which is 5 and a third. So 5 and a third plus 8 is 13 and a third. That's where they each get their respective shittas. And that's what the Gemara says. We turn to the Amud Beis. Shein Ke'eser, according to the first opinion, with 6 cows, is going to be about 10. Now, it's exactly 10 the Gemara is going to answer. Why saying about 10? Ke'eser. Divrei Rabbi Meir, his opinion is going to be actually 10, not like 10. But we'll explain that in a moment. So Rabbi Meir says it's like 10. And Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kishloshes V'yama, Ke'arbaes V'yama. It's about 13, 14 Amma, because it's really 13 and a third. So Rabbi Yehuda is an estimation. So he says 13, 14. And that's actually why it says like 10 for Rabbi Meir, because even though Rabbi Meir is exact, since Rabbi Yehuda, we have to use an estimation. So we say an estimation like 10 for Rav Meir as well, even though it's exactly 10. And Gemara questions this, as I just said, and gives the answer as I just said. Ke'eser, why using the terminology that's like 10 for Rav Meir? Ha'eser havyan, it's exactly 10. 6 times 1 and 2 thirds is exactly 10. So Gemara says, no, Mishum Deboile missed the Seifa, Kishlojus Rei, since the Seifa is going to be an approximation, so the Rei, shall we say, it's like 10, even though it's exactly 10. Gemara says, Kishlojus Rei, like 13? It's 13 and a third. It's more than 13. So why are you saying like 13? So we're saying, yeah, that's why we say Mishum Debayla Mistake Abarisre. That's why we said it's 14. Gemara says, okay, Abarisre, Holo Havya, but it's not 14. So that's the Gemara says, Amar Papa. That's exactly the point. You say it's a Shloshes Rei, Vena Magias Abarisre. That's why I said 13, 14. It means in between 13 and 14. That was the terminology that was used in this statement. Now the Gemara says, Amar Papa. We have a machlokas here between Rav Yehuda and Rav Meir. Rav Yehuda says you need 13 and a third before you have to put an additional pasim. And Rav Meir says, no, once you have 10, you have to put an additional pasim if you wish to use and carry in this area of the pasi biros. So Amar Rav Papa says, Bibor Shmona, if the actual size of the bor itself is 8 amos, and then you have the 1 amma around the bor before you reach the pasi biros, and then the diyumdin of the pase biros. And now, why do you have a guarantee of 2? Because we just pointed out that the animal has to be able to stand there. Rosho verubo, which is 2 amos. So in order for the animal to be able to stand at any point around the water, the bear or the boar, so you have to have an additional 2 amos. So if the boar is an 8x8 amma structure, then you need 2 amos around it at all sides. In other words, you're making it 12 by 12, because you're going to have the bore itself that's 8, then you're going to have 2 to the left and 2 to the right. 2 plus 2 plus 8 is 12. So everybody agrees that if you have a bore that's 8 or less, the kuliyama lo pligi, the lo binim pshutin. You don't need pshutin, because the pshutin themselves are only needed to shorten a 10 amma distance. But if you have this 12 by 12 structure, and 2 of the 12 are going to be taken by the diyumdin, 1 to the left and 1 to the right, so then you only have a space of 10 in between. And even Rav Meir says, as long as you don't exceed a space of 10, you don't need to have pshutim. So whenever you have the bor that is going to be no more than 8x8, anything less than 8x8, kuli amar lepligi, Rav Meir and Yehuda both agree, the lo binim pshutim. You're not going to need to have any additional pshutim to put in between, because you're not going to reach a distance of 10 between the diyumdin. And likewise, they both agree, but Bor Shdemis Rei, if the bor itself is 12 by 12, so then you're going to have to add 2 to the left and 2 to the right, so it's going to be a total of 16 by 16, and now you're going to take 1 off on the left for the diumid on the left, and 1 off on the right for the diumid on the right, so you're going to decrease the 16 to 14, so 14 is more than 13 and a third, so Bor Shdemis Rei, if the bor itself was 12 by 12, so then everybody agrees, the kuli amar lo pligi, both Rav Meir and even Rav Yehuda are going to say the ba'inam pshutim, that you're going to have to add additional boards because your space is more than 13 and a third. Certainly more than 10, and it's more than 13 and a third. So both Rav Meir and even Rav Yehuda are going to require additional pshutim if the bor itself was more than 12 by 12. So in the case where it's 8 by 8 or less, there's no machlokas, you don't need pshutim. Where the bor is at least 12 by 12, there's no machlokas, everybody agrees you need pshutim. So where's their machlokes? Keep ligi. Where do Rav Meir and Yehuda have their machlokes that you need to add pshutim or you don't need to add pshutim? Rav Meir says you need to add pshutim, and Rav Yehuda says you don't need to add a pasher board, a plain board. That's between the bar of the size, mishmona ad shtemesre, in between 8 and 12. Between 8 and 12, so if it's more than 8, but less than 12, so it's going to be more than 10 amos, but less than 13 and a third amma, the space between the diyumdim. So Rav Meir is going to say you need a pshutim. The Rav Meir ba'inam pshutim, but according to Rav Yehuda, it's going to be less than 13 and a third. The Rav Yehuda lo ba'inam pshutim, you wouldn't need pshutim. So this is what Rav Papa tells us. Now, this is very obvious. Rav Papa, Michael Marshall, what's Rav Papa telling us over here? Tanina, this is exactly what we learned. We said that Rav Meir holds that the opening is 10 amos, and Rav Yehuda says the opening is 13 and 3rd amos. You need pshutim, but less than each of their respective shittas, you don't. So what's Rav Papa adding over here? So Gemara says, Rav Papa, b'raisa lo shmile. This was a b'raisa where we learned this. And the Amoraim did not know all the b'raisas. And therefore, k'mashu lo k'braisa. Rav Papa was teaching us on his own what we knew from a b'raisa. Rav Papa was explaining to us on his own. Now we have a simon. Again, we pointed out many, many times, we always say the simonim out loud. Arich, yoser, betel, chitzis, chotzer, shiyovsha, simon. All of these things are going to be questions that Abaye is going to answer from his Rebbe Rabba. So these are the mnemonics over here. Each of them is going to be a word that describes the question that Abaye asked to Rabba. Let's see. Boy minei Abaye mei Rabba. Abaye asked him Rabba. The first one is Orich. So Herich b'diyumdin. What happens if instead of adding a pshutim, you just extend the diyumdin? If you remember, we said that the dimension, the width of the diyumdin was 6 tvachim, which is 1 amma. Right, we said its height was 10 tvachim, and we said that its thickness, that could be even a mashu. So here we're only interested in how far it extends out. So the right angles that are made with the two pasin, these two boards, so it's one arm extending at a right angle, and one arm extending the other way at a right angle. So if instead of adding a pshutin, instead of just adding a board in the middle, whether it's according to Rabbi Yehuda for more than 10 amos, or whether according to Rabbi Yehuda when it's more than 13 and 3rd amos, what about if you diminish the size to below 10 amos or below 13 and 3rd amos respectively? If you did this by, instead of adding a pshutim, you added to the diyumdin. So you made the diyumdin, instead of being 1 amma, you made the diyumdin be 2 amma, 3 amma. Is that good? So that's the question. If you extended the diyumdin beyond the 1 amma, kishir pshutim, the same amount that you would have if you put in pshutim, you extended the diyumdin, what's the halacha? L'Rav Meir mahu. According to Rav Meir, where you need to go, and you have between 10 and 13 and a third, you have to put in a pashut, can you just extend the diyumdin? Is that good? So that's what Abaye asked to Rabba. Rabba tells him, Amalei. Rabba tells his Talmud, Tenisua, we learned this. This is our Mishnah. Obavad shiyarbe bepasin. Look at the language of the Mishnah carefully. It said that you have to add pasin. Now, my lab, what does this mean? Demarech b'diyumdin. Doesn't this mean that you can extend the diyumdin with additional pasin? Yarbe bepasin implies that you're adding on to an already existing board, the diyumdin, another pas. So therefore, asked and answered. Our Mishnah seems to say that, yes, you could add on to the diyumdin. Where it says, no, not necessarily so. Lo, demapish v'ovi pshutim. No, that you have to just go and make a separate pashut pas, and you don't add it on to the diyumid. Where it says, really? Ihochi. So look at the language. It says, hi, ubavad, shiyarbe bepasin. You should make more pasin. If you're right, it should have said, ad shiyarbe pasin, miboyle. It should have said, you have to make more pasin, not that you add on to an already existing pasin. Where it says, you're right, okay, tini, ad shiyarbe pasin. To get around Rabba's teretz, to try to explain that, yes, you can add on to the yumdin, you have to change the language of the Mishnah to say, at shiyarbe pasim, not shiyarbe bit pasim. That's version number one. Ikad Yamre, the second version of this discussion was as follows. Amale, that Rabba answered back to Abaye when he asked him, can you add on to the yumdin? So Rabba responded to Nisua. We learned this in our Mishnah. It says, ubavad shiyarbe bepasim. Now, what does that mean? My la, the mafish, the ovid pshutim, that you're making additional pshutim, doesn't that mean what yarbe b'pasin means? The answer that we gave before is now the havamina. So where it says, no, the marich b'diyumdin. No, it could mean that you add on to the diyumdin. Lav dafkid, you have to bring a poshut, but you could just add on to the diyumdin. And here the Gemara says, hochanami mistabra, because look at the language. Midiktani, obavach yarbe b'pasin. That implies that you're adding on to an existing pas. So, shmamina, this is a good raya, that in fact, Rabba originally said, no, it means that you have to put pshutim, but the Gemara says, no, it could mean that you could even add on to the diyumdin. That was the first question that Abaye asked to Rabba. Next question, which is the mnemonic, Yoser, boy minei Abaye mi Rabba. Abaye asked Rabba the following, Yoser mishloshes v'yamos ushlish, according to Rav Yehuda, who says, if you have a space more than 13 and a third amma, you have to add on something. So, Rav Yehuda ma'u. This is a parallel question to what we just had, question number one, which was according to Rav Meir. So here he's now asking the same question according to Rav Yehuda. Pshutin ovid o b'diyumdin marech. Can you put in pshutin, or should you b'davka add it to the diyumdin? That's the question that Abaye asked Rabba. So Rabba answers, Amalei, Tenitzot, our Mishnah. Kamehain Mikurovin. how close do they have to be? What is the minimal size that you can surround this bear or this bar with? So Rabbah tells him, it said, Kamehe Mekurovim, how small can it be? Kidei Rosh HaVeruvu Shapar, it has to be two amos. We said to hold the head and most of the body, the part, which we said was two amos. And then, here's the point, here's the raya, the Kamaru Chokim, how big could you make it? And add as many possum as you need to, how big can you make it? So it said, Afilu Kur, Afilu Kurayim. You could even have an area that's enclosed at the size of 30 saw. You could plant a field of 30 saw. Afilu Kurayim, or even two Kurayim, 60 saw. Rehuda disagreed. Rehuda Omer, no. Only base asayim mutter. You can only go up to a base asayim. As we said, 5,000 amos, 50 times 100. So that's where you can go. Yosef, a base asayim. But if you have an area that you're enclosing with these posse biros around a bar or a be'er, so that's not allowed more than a base asayim. Also, that's what Rehuda said to the Tanakama. So I'm Lo Rehuda, the Chacham, the Tanakama, said back to Rabbi Yehuda, Iyatam Odeh. Wait a second. This din of making mechitzos, you can enclose an area more than a base asayim. If you have, and we had these terminologies previously, if you have a deer or a sar, these are various types of enclosures that you put the animal in. One is out in the field where they wanted to fertilize a certain area of the field, so they would pen in the animals into a certain area, and then they would move it, and then they would move it, and they would move it. And this way they fertilized different sections of the field. That was the deer. And the sar, we said, was back in town where they would corral the animals in a certain area. Muktzah, we said, was a backyard area where they would store things. The chotzer was a front yard area. And all of these, if you wish to, you can make them enclosed, even a larger area than a base asayim. Afilu bats chameshes korim, you can even have five korah. Korah, again, is 30, so it could be 150 saw. Afilu bats asara korim, even 10 times a core of 30 saw. It could be 300. So, mutter, you're allowed to go and enclose them. So how can you tell me, Review, that there's a limit on a enclosure of a base sasayim? So Review that says, I'm going, you're wrong. Zumachitza v'ilupasim. You're talking about the deer, the sa, the muktz, and the chutz, making a real wall. I agree. If you make a real wall, you can make it as long as large as you want and enclose an area as large as you want. But this is pasi biros. This is a special head to here. Here, you're only allowed to go up to a base sasayim. In any event, that was our Mishnah. Now, what's the Raya? What's the answer that Rabbah is giving to Abaye? Can you add on to the Deyumdin, or should you use Pshutim? So he says as follows. V'im Yisa, Rabbah says, if, in fact, you're only allowed to add on to the Deyumdin, so Zumachitzav, Zumachitzav, Boile. If you can add up to a base Sosayim, but you're only allowed to add on by adding to the Deyumdin, so then you're going to have many, 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 many boards. The base asayim, which is 5,000 amma, if it was a rectangle, it would be 50 by 100. So let's make it into a square. So that basically comes out to 17 two-thirds by 17 two-thirds amma. The square root of 5,000 is 17 two-thirds by 17 two-thirds. So if you have 17 two-thirds amma, so you're going to have, if you're going to make that adding onto the diyumdin to get it down to 13 and a third, you're going to have this huge wall that you're extending out from the pasi biros. So he wouldn't say that you're adding on a pas, you're adding on an entire wall. So therefore, it must be that you're only allowed to add on pshutim. So where it says, no, not necessarily so. Hachi kamar, this is what Rav Yehuda is telling us in the Mishnah. Zo taras mechitza alea upiritzoseh b'yeser. No, it has the same halachos as a mechitza, which means that you're not allowed to have a breach of more than 10 amos. However, if you have a real wall, so then even Rav Yehuda says that you're not allowed to have 13 and a third, the breach is 10, makes it no longer considered a wall. However, by the special din of Pasi Biros, so we don't follow the normal rules of a Mechitza where a breach of 10 is considered significant, but here a breach of 13 and a third is considered significant. So that's what Rav Yehuda is saying in the Mishnah, and maybe he's even talking about that you're adding it onto the Deyumdim, maybe not. It's irrelevant. The bottom line is, even if you have a mechitza here, it isn't going to be ruined by the normal 10 of a breach in a mechitza. Here, even if it's a real mechitza, you're adding on to the yumdin, nevertheless, it still retains the halachic status of pasi biros, and if you have a breach that's even up to 13 and a third amma, it won't ruin the mechitza. That was question number two that Abaye asked to Rabbah. Question number three. Abaye asked Rabbah the following question. tel hamislakir asara mitoch arba. Now we had this a number of times already. This is asara is 10 tvachim in an area of 4 amos. If you have an incline, you have a mound of earth over here, a tail that is rising at a certain rate. So do we consider that a mechitza or not? So if the incline is a sharp enough incline that within a span of the horizontal direction of 4 amos, it rises up 10 tvachim. So the y-axis is 10 tvachim over a span of the x-axis of 4 amos. So that is considered a mechitza. And nido mishum diyumet. That could function as your diyumet. It's a 10 tefach tall board, and this would be a perfectly fine mechitza for your diyumet. This would be one of the boards of the diyumet. Oeno nido mishum diyumet. Or maybe we say no. Since it's not actually at a right angle, it's just over here, a tail, a mound, so you have to go and, so to say, make it into a right angle board, and since it's not physically in a right angle board, it can't count as a diumid. Maybe the diumid literally must be a right angle, an L-shaped type of structure, and not a mound of earth that you could theoretically carve out from it a right angle structure. That was the question that Abaye asked to Rabbah. So Amalei, Rabbah answers to Abaye, Tinisua. We also learned this in the following Brisa. It says, Rishim and Elazar says, Hayisosham Eden Mirubas. What happens if in the corner, instead of a Pasi Biros, you had a square stone? Now, you can see pictures of this in the illustrated Gemara very nicely. If you have a square there, so that's not a right angle to each other. You don't see the right angle. So you'd have to chisel out, at least theoretically, the right angle space. So you carve out some of the square, so you're left with just the two sides. So Haisashom Evan Merubaz, Rowan, in Halacha, we are allowed to view that Kosh Ilu Techolek, as if you carved out the area that was unnecessary, and you're left with the two right angle structures, Yeshba Amalekan, Amalekan. So Rishon Moses says you're allowed to go and do this when you're dealing with a square. However, in that situation, but only in that situation, nido mishum diyumid. You can imagine it as being a diyumid. However, v'im lav, but if there isn't enough room for an ama on each side, so then of course it's no good. Ain't no nido mishum diyumid. But you must only have it in the square. Along comes Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher Yochim Broka. He gives another kula. Omer, he says, Haisa Shalevin Agula. If this stone over here wasn't a square, but it was a circle, so now you have to go first make it into a square and then make it into a right angle. So in this situation, Haisa Shalevin Agula, Rowan, he says, you're still allowed to Kielu, you call Rowan Kosh Ilu Techokek Visecholik, as if you first made it into a square, and then, so to say, made it into the right angle post, and as long as there's going to be an ama to each side, and there'll be right angles to each other, you can still count this as a diyumen. Now, the imlav, it's not big enough for that, so ain't no mishum diyumen. Not going to be a diyumen. So what do we have? We have the first opinion, Rishum and Loza says, you're allowed to do one chokikin. This is one imaginary chiseling out that you're allowed to do, whereas Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher Yochanan Rachah says you're allowed to do a double. First make it from the circle into a square, and then the square into the right angle structure. So Rabbi wants to suggest that that's the answer to Abaye's question about the tel hamislaki. It's totally on this machlokis. What are these two mandiyamas arguing about? Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar and Rishwal ben Osher Yochanan Rachah. So Marsovar Chadro and Amrinon, Trey Ro and Lo Amrinon. The first opinion, Rishwal ben Elazar says, one time we can make an imaginary chiseling out. And therefore, in the first case, from the square, we can chisel out into two right angle posts. So one time we do that. However, Trey, first make it from a circle into a square, and then to make it into the two right angle posts, so Trey, Ro, and Lo, Amrinon. However, Rabbi Shmuel, Beno, Shul, Yochanan, Broka says, Umar, Sovar, Afil, Trey, Ro, and Nam, Amrinon. You can do that. So that's the teretz over here to Abaye as well. This tail hamislaki asor mitoch arba. So if you hold like Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, so then it's no good. But if you hold like Rabbi Shmuel, Beno, Shul, Yochanan, Broka, it would be good. Finally, the fourth and of the six questions that Abaye asked to Rabbah, he asked him, Chitzas HaKonim, if you have a diyumud that is in the shape over here of the right angle, so if you have these individual reeds that are standing up like vertical posts, so Kona, Kona, Pachas, Bishlosha, as long as each reed is within three tvachim of the next reed, Nido and Mishum Diyumin Olav. Can you use this as a valid lava to make this into a post? Now, why not? So the Mefarshim explained, because here it's already a kula that you have Pasi Biros. So it's another kula, so to say, to apply lava to make the Pasi Biros. Do we say this or not? That's the question that Abaye asked the Rabbah. So Rabbah responds, Amalei, Rabbah says, Tenisua, we also learned this in a Braisa. Harisham Elon, the Braisa says, if there was a tree over there, as a Deyuman, oh God, there are a fence there, oh Chitzas HaKonim, or you had these vertical posts of the reeds, so need Domishum Deyuman. It says Beferish that this is a good Deyuman. My love, Kona Konim Pelchus Bishlosha, isn't this talking about that they're all within three Tvachim of each other, so the principle of love does work over here? So asked and answered, the Braisa says Beferish Abaye, that the vertical reeds are good as a Deyumud. Shmuel says, not necessarily so. Lo, good risa dekani. This is talking actually about that you have the entire reed is attached to the ground and it's only coming up. It's like a shrub and it's only coming up as a reed on the top, but it's actually attached all at the bottom. And therefore, this isn't a good raya. Shmuel says, if that's so, ihachi, hainu ilan, then how's that any different than a tree? Shmuel says, you're right. Elamai, kona kona pochim yishlosha. What do you want to say? That it's vertical posts, like you wanted to suggest? So hainu gada, that's a fence. So then why would it have to tell me a fence twice? Just like you're asking me, why does that tell me a tree twice? Why does that tell me a fence twice? Shmuel says, no. Elamai yisachol meimer. What are you going to say? It has to tell me a fence twice. Trey gavne gader. So tell me there's two types of fences. A fence that's all connected horizontal and vertical. And then there's the vertical posts alone. And they're both good fences. So I can give you the same teretz. Hochanami, trey gavne ilan. So I can tell you that there's two types of trees. There's a tree and there's this shrub. And lav dafka, did you have any raya to the vertical posts? So that's version number one of the fourth question. Version number two of the fourth question goes as follows. Ika di amre. An alternate way of learning it is as follows. This gudrisa, this fence, dekani, made of reeds, komi boile. That was what Abaye was asking to Rabbah. Gudrisa dekani mai. Are you allowed to use this hedge, this shrub of konim? It starts off at the bottom altogether, and then it separates out afterwards. So he asks, could that be good? So Rabbah responds to him, Amalei, yeah, Tanisua, this was a brisa. Hayosham geder, o ilon, o chitza sakonim. You had either a fence or a tree or these chitza sakonim. So he asks, the brisa says, nido mishum diyumid. They're good for as a diyumid. So my love, he's asking, isn't this chitza sakonim? Isn't it referring to my love, gudriso dekoni? It's referring to a shrub of bushes that come up over here and then separate out at the top. And it's not talking about vertical posts. So only this chitza sakonim as a gudrisa is good, but not as vertical posts. Of course, says, no, kone pachos mishloshe. No, it could actually mean that it's referring to a vertical lining of reeds, but they're not all coming together as a shrub at the bottom. Gemara says, Ihach, if that's so, I know God there. So then, how's that any different than a fence? Gemara says, Velamai, and according to you, you don't have a problem? Gudri, so Dekani, you were saying that it's a shrub and it only separates out afterwards. So then, Hainu Ilan, then how's that any different than a tree? So, same terrace like we gave for version one. Elamai, Izachol Meimer, what are you going to say? We turn to the Amud Aleph, Trey Gavne Ilan, that there's two types of trees. I'll say the same terrace over here. Hochanami, Trey Gavne Geder, the two types of fences. So again, we don't have a raya one way or the other. So those are the first four of the six questions from the mnemonic that we had that Abaye is going to ask Rabbah. With that, we conclude today's shir.